Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to episode 57 of the First Exchange podcast with me, your host, Lydia Daydahl. We are back for a new series and I could not be happier. I have missed doing this so much. I have missed being in the studio recording these podcasts. It's been too long. I hope you are all keeping well. Thank you so much, as always, to everyone who has reached out on social media, whether it's a tweet or a DM, just to say that they're enjoying the podcast. And when are we back with a new series? It's so lovely to know that you're all eagerly awaiting this new episode and that you're all keeping well. And thank you, as always, for always sharing the podcast and for your messages of love and support. I really appreciate it. So thank you. So for our first episode back, I could not but bring in one of my favorite people to talk with me and to get us kicked off into this new series. I had a very good friend of mine by the name of Teddy Darling, aka God Creative, aka one half of Creative Crime, to come into the studio today and join me for a chat. If you listen to the chat, you will understand why I needed to get him in and I needed to know more about his brain. He does so much, whether it is art, graffiti, creating, music, art. So as you can tell, he does so much. I know him, I know Teddy so long, but I really only kind of know his background in music, and I wanted to get him in obviously to talk about that, but there's so much that he does. He is the definition of creation, of creative minds. So he came in to talk about how he got started, his influences, his mentors, you know, his life to date. And he did not disappoint. It was such an interesting chat. And I think I'm probably going to have to get him back for a second episode. But before I keep going on, just thank you so much again to everyone for listening, for tuning in and for sharing the podcast. We really, really do appreciate it. And because of your love and support, that is why we're able to continue to do this. So thank you. So now go and enjoy the new series, episode 57 of the First Exchange podcast with Teddy Darling. Boom, we're back.
Yo, yo.
Welcome.
Hello. It's great to see you.
It is so good to see you.
Yeah.
The last time we saw each other, the last time we were out was we went to John's play over the road, the Olympia.
That's right, Ireland's Call.
Yeah.
How good was that?
It was brilliant. I was delighted to see you there because I went on my own.
I kept a seat for you.
You did keep a seat for me.
Yeah, I did. Do you remember that?
Yes, of course I do.
Yeah.
And I was, do you remember I was in a taxi on Georgia Street?
Yeah.
And you were texting me going, you're not going to make it. They closed the doors on the button. You don't get in. I'm like, I'm not well versed in this theatre thing.
Well, we got love for you because I kept that seat for you. And plus, theatre has a strict code. Like, they don't wait. Like, if you're 2 minutes late, I've gone to some of John's shows, I couldn't get in. I couldn't get in. It wasn't because of the way I looked, though. I couldn't get in because it was 2 minutes late. And in theatre, they're really like that. But you held the show up, I think, about 7 minutes. Right? And we were just saying, no, someone very important is coming. Very important. And they're like, we don't care who this is. We're closing the door.
Fair play to them.
Very important. And then you walk in, it's like, oh. Like, yeah. You don't know Lydia. You don't know fucking Lydia. Yeah, that was great.
Oh, it was brilliant.
What
yeah.
a show. Powerful
what a
stuff.
Show.
Powerful, powerful stuff.
Yeah, really, really good. Oh, he's bringing it back. He was meant to bring it back, wasn't he?
Yeah, that man's a legend, man. I love that fella. Well, he did 85 shows, Ireland's Call. And it was great. I have some really, really interesting stories, actually. Like, when he was preparing for that, he actually just got funded for the Fringe Festival to do a one-time show.
Yeah.
And they were like, we'd like you to do a one-man show, you know? And he was like, okay, I'm in. Let's go. And they were like, okay, can you do it? Like, it's next week. or whatever. And he's like, well, do an hour show. And he was like, okay, right, chill. Try do this. So he went home and basically drawed on loads of different scenarios and inspirations of all of us growing up and all the kind of mad things we done, and chopped and changed a couple of his childhood stories in there. I put it in a great narrative as well about the country. And I remember walking into his bedroom and he had all the scenes written crayon on his bedroom wall. Scene one, you know, baldy English. Scene two, you know, these tag words to go in. Yeah. But it was like walking into a, like a horror set.
Yeah.
Because he's the worst handwriting in the world. You can understand. There's these scribbles. And Jesus, he pulled it together in a week. And he ended up then, that ended up going all across the country, 85 shows and stuff, man. And he'll be back.
This is John Connors, by the way, in case, I don't think we mentioned John. We're saying John, like everyone listening will know who we're talking about.
Yeah,
but,
John Connors, yeah.
The one and only. But speaking of John Connors,
yeah,
just off the set, can we talk about the Black Guelph?
I think we can, yeah, yeah. He was on a podcast. He was on a podcast talking about it as well. So, like, yeah, let's go.
Well, how did you get on? How did you get on? Don't implicate yourself. Keep it brief. Keep it media. Like, yeah, it was really good. Next question.
No, it was dangerous asking me that because I don't know how to answer questions like that. And he'd probably listen back and be like, what the fuck just right off? You know what I mean? But no, I was called upon to collaborate with Cluster Fox Film. It was a great film. Wrote called The Black Guelph. John Connors and Tiernan Williams wrote this beautiful script about the impact of clerical abuse, generational, mm-hmm. and about people not dealing with their demons inside. And, you know, their relationships as well with people, how it affects them in the present time as well, how it affects their relationships with their family and their friends and stuff. But it's a very powerful drama, very, very, very powerful drama. And they just called on me and my, I suppose, my creative detailed eye to come in and do some. Actually, it started out, I was meant to come in and just set dress. They were like, we can use your eye and we can dress up these places.
Yeah.
And it turned into me then just basically looking after all the props, looking after all the costume and set dressing everywhere, which was a lot of stress on me. It was my first gig doing that. And I had no idea what I was doing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm in there with all these people that have, you know, they have massive credits, big film and TV and everything like that. Yeah. And I'm just acting like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But they know me as well. Like, it was real funny. Oh, it's Teddy. Yeah, that guy, man. Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. How's things? Yeah. So this is what you're doing now? Yeah. How many films you done? I've done a few, you know. Just that and the other hand, them out their costumes going, fuck, I hope that's the right one. You know? But,
It looks fresh. It looks amazing. Like what
it's
I've
going
seen,
to be
the,
unbelievable.
The photos and stuff online looks incredible. Really, really cool.
Yeah, like I mean, I had the chance to express myself creatively through the film as well, and I'm always thankful for those opportunities. Like for instance, one of the guys, he has a talent for painting, and I got to paint up 20 original canvases for the film. I got to make a lot of props and got to do a lot of stuff that I've never done before as well, like, mm-hmm. so, you know, there was challenges there along the way. It was beast, it was deadly.
But you are, like, if someone was to ask me to define you in one word, creative would be the word. Like, you just strike me as someone who is always creating, no matter what the avenue is. Obviously, you got creative crime. The music is probably how I would know you best. Mm. But there's so many different facets to Teddy Darling. Who are you?
Yeah, I ask myself that question every day. I'm just someone that wants to have a bit of fun. You don't make people smile as well. Like, you know,
well,
what I mean?
Listen, tick that off the list.
Yeah, do you know, like, what I mean? Like, I mean, all that other stuff comes hand in hand as well. Like, it's, you know, come here. We're all creative in our own ways. We just need to find a way to bring it out as well. I've been lucky enough to be in youth clubs as a youth and get mentored and tutored by amazing artists throughout my life.
Yeah.
And it's all about just looking up, isn't it? It's about just like looking where you want to be, look at who's doing the best job at that, and then just saying to yourself, look, aspire that, and just, you know, take some of that stuff and move forward. Like, it's all about just looking up and drawing from the legends and drawing from our mentors. And I believe that's how I built up a creative base.
So talk to me about these mentors. Go back. Travel in time. Tell me all.
There's a beautiful human being named Gary Maguire, his name is. He's from Drogheda. And basically when we were around 12, 13, we were going around Darndale, and we were just fucking tagging the place up with spray paint, graffiti paint. You know what I mean? It was like, that's what we thought was cool back then. Yeah. We had all these videotapes of all these guys wrecking the place in New York and stuff like that. We went on a big trip, like. But again, we're just trying to find our identity. We're creatives.
Yeah.
We don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
But you know, we're rebels as well. Like, you know, and we don't want to sell hash at the shops either. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, what? We still want to do something. We still want to fuck the place up a bit, but yes, we don't want to, you know, get, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We want a chance to run from the guard at least, like, you know what I mean? So basically, yeah, to get back to that, so our local youth club pulled a meeting, and we used to go in and out there and play basketball and stuff, and says, we're going to get an artist down that's going to teach us how to do that, how to harness that ability,
yeah,
and how to turn it into, like murals and stuff like that, like, you know. So they call down a guy called Gary Maguire. He writes the name Arts. Big shout out to Gary Maguire, big shout out to Arts. And he came in. But little did we know, this guy was like a fucking legend on the international scene when it came to graffiti art.
Wow.
So it wasn't just a guy that had some skills.
He was actually
legendary. But we came to know that then, you know, and he taught us how to harness our skills and get our little sketchbooks together, our little black books, and do our outlines and stuff. And he taught us what the art is, you know what I mean? Mm. Like how to express it in an art form. Taught us all the spray paint abilities, all these different can skills, how to use our head to build more kind of intricate designs and stuff like that. And this workshop wasn't something that went on for a few months. This workshop went on for years.
Wow.
I ended up becoming really good friends with that guy, and we travelled all around. We painted numerous amount of walls. We actually, when Smithfield, when you were just building all the kind of new structures in Smithfield Square there, all the hoarding up there, we organised a big graffiti jam called Out the Bourne Jam in 2007, and invited something like 30 international guests over to paint all that and stuff. You know, and I'm only 15, 16, and I'm painting like the big dogs because I'm just one of these dudes. That's the thing with me. Like, you know, my first try is shit. My second try is okay. My third try is really good. By the time it's my 10th try, I'm as good as anyone else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's just
capacity to learn. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I was just painting and got really good. And I suppose that was one big staple in my life. That was one guy. Like right now, like even the paintings that I did in the film and stuff like that, that stems exactly from that mentorship that I got from that dude. You know what I mean? Like,
and just goes to show the importance of when you reach a certain point in your own career or you've learned a certain amount, the importance of giving back, the importance of going back to the communities and teaching the youth what you know. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I love that. And shows his character as well.
Big time.
That he was able to be that successful in his own field and then go, do you know what? I'm going to give me spare time and I'm going to teach these toe rags.
Yeah,
the
definitely. That's what it was. Like, he was like a real dude. Like, he was a friend. He used to say, like, I'm not making even much for this. So I travelled down from Drogheda.
Yeah.
He wasn't making much. He was doing it because he just wanted to pass the gift on.
Passion.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and we still, you know, I lost that deal for 5 years now in my life. Like, I was literally crying like a baby. He just disappeared. But I recently, before Christmas, actually located him. We're going to be meeting up soon.
This Christmas?
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. Miracles do come true.
Yeah. You know, I got I got a word from another deal to another deal that he knew where he was. He just disappeared off the map for a while. You know what I mean? That was crazy.
Unreal. So from graffiti, from doom murals, what next? What came next?
Well, people don't know this. I never actually told anyone this, but I think it was in transition year when I actually won the Young Dublin Artist Award.
In
the whole of Dublin.
Get out.
Yeah, right. And they got me up onto a big stage in the middle of town. And nobody knows this.
What?
Yeah, they got me up on a big stage in the middle of town. And they presented me with like a solid gold harp badge.
You're joking me.
Like, this happened. And NCAD down the road told me I don't have to do any exams. I could go straight into college.
What?
Yeah, this was because of all
big.
This.
That's big. If NCAD are like bypassed the exams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were like, just come into
just
us.
Come in.
Yeah, they were just come into us. Yeah, we'll take it from there.
So what did you have to do? Like, what was part, why did you, how did you win the, was it like a collection of work or?
Yeah, it was. It really was. Yeah, it was a collection of work. It was a million different sketches. It was sculpts. It was objects that we were making. It was crazy shit. Like, you know?
No way.
Yeah, like now that I think back, it's crazy. I haven't thought about it. I haven't thought about it in fucking 15 years. Like,
no, how does it feel? How does it feel when you think back on it?
That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. But that, but there you go. God creative, like, you know?
Yeah.
There you go. It all started from there, like, you know? So.
No way. Okay, now more. What else? Because, like, this is so interesting because I've never had this conversation with you about, like, we've never really talked about sort of your start or, yeah, so that's why you're here. We're going to go do it now.
Yeah, nice one. No, I appreciate it. Really
so
appreciate
the art, like art and music go hand in hand. You know what I mean? They're so in sync. Whether it's down to like the, you know, album cover or single cover to like your promo photographs, like art is always there. It has to be there. They always have to be interlinked. So at what stage did you develop the sort of love for music or that sort of natural...
Well, the same time you did.
Very good.
Same time you did.
I wonder, was it the same way I did, though?
Came from...
Were you at the sesh?
Like, of course it was from friends and stuff like that, but it was really from older music.
Yeah.
That's how you like music.
Yeah. What were you listening to? What was in the collection?
Back then?
Yeah.
Ennio Morricone.
Go on.
Fleetwood Mac.
Oh!
I was killing it, like, you know. We were doing, like, I was just, like, War of the Worlds kind of on LP
yes,
and stuff. I was just the stuff people weren't. And, like, you know, I had this kind of big eclectic kind of mix of music that was in my life that I couldn't even express when I got into hip-hop or rap, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I write rap music and I do hip-hop tunes. I feel like that's the best way I can express myself because I feel like I am a bit of a wordsmith. But I don't listen to hip hop, you know what I mean? Like,
really?
Yeah, I don't listen to rap music.
Did you ever go through a period of just being like, being inspired by hip hop?
Yeah, for sure. For
like
sure.
Who would have been big inspirations in hip hop?
Excuse me. I remember one Christmas, me off like got a point in radio, man, and this thing was like a spaceship. Had a tape deck, and for the first time I ever seen a CD player, but it fucking slid down vertically, right, like that. It went up and down. Didn't know what the fuck this thing was, right? I hadn't got a fucking clue. You put the CD in flat, like, I put the CD in sitting up, and I remember we were so fucked up and broke that one Christmas. I don't think he had much money to get me at, and he gave me the fucking thing, right?
Yeah.
It was a Pioneer system, probably worth about £800. From Power City back then. I think he spent all the fucking Christmas money on the Pioneer system. But when it came to Christmas, he felt guilty. He gave me the fucking thing. But remember just being landed with that, like, and I did have a history of music. I had, like, fucking Pet Shop Boys and Scooter on tape and stuff. And we were listening to, like, a boom, 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 and Let Me Hear You Say Way. Or we were listening to all them fucking banging, bleeding, mad 90s tunes growing up. And I remember saying, fuck, I have a CD player now. Well, I better go buy some CDs. And then for the next 10 years, I was just obsessed with crawling through HMV. And, you know, it was before the internet. Like, we
what a day.
Like, you know what I mean? It was when sometimes we just had to go with what we seen on the fucking album cover to take a chance on it.
Can you remember those days?
Like, come on, can we talk about them? Like,
HMV or going into Terror Records and, like, like back in the day when vinyl collection was like, you know, a pure thing to do. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like now, I mean, the art is lost now. And obviously it's not lost completely, but we're in a different time. But that thing of like going through, like, and I remember in Terror Records that I eventually started working in Terror Records, and I worked there for about 6 years. Before I worked there, I used to go in and they would have all the vinyl, like, you know, A to Z and all the names and stuff. But then they'd have, like, at the end of the section, they'd just have, like, one pile of just random.
Yeah.
Like, we can't categorize that or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's where I used to go, right? Yeah. And it was the art, what resonated with you.
Yeah, that was a ritual.
And sometimes it would be a hit. You get home and you'd be like, success.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get something home and you'd be like, what the hell? This doesn't sound anything like the cover looks like. Do you know what I mean? But that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I brought some CDs home that I thought were hip hop, and it's like, that's not my name. That's not my name. I was like, what the fuck is this? this, man? The Ting Tings? It's like, I fucking thought this was a hip hop group. But you know what I mean? Like, that's the way it was back then.
Yeah.
But that's how we really have these acute senses to art as well, and how art ties itself together to us is the attention, the detail we have on, you know, using our sight, our feel, our touch, our senses. Like, you know, there was nothing better than picking up these things, opening them up, going through the lyrics and feeling connected with it. Like, everything's digital now. We don't have that anymore.
Remember,
you know,
when you buy a CD, an album on CD, and the inlay was like all the lyrics?
Right, exactly.
How cool was that?
Deadly.
Oh, you get to sit there, put on your tunes and like sing the lyrics.
Deadly. It's like, listen, right, I'll tell you, Lydia, so basically, right, when that all happened in our lives and stuff like that, that actually stemmed into my art. When I teamed up with Dan Doherty and we made Creative Crime, and we made a bunch of tunes, I always said we'll do a release and we'll do something really funky with it, which is a direct reaction from all of them past experiences. So one of our last single we just brought out in December, just gone, it's called Takeover, Creative Crime Takeover. It's kind of electro rap type of thing. It's really cool, like a hype tune. I commissioned a guy to illustrate a full 10-page book comic, right?
Wow.
On these kind of G1, Generation 1 Transformer type characters of me and Dan. And we got the comic made up, we got character cards made up, and we got a great artist to sculpt robot sculpts as well and stuff like that. And, you know, I got them cast up and I hand-painted them and stuff like that.
Incredible.
And we did like a little limited edition release, like with the comic book and the figures. Just for the single.
Because the figures, that's another area that you're big into, right?
Yeah.
And you know who it was who told me about you with the figures?
Mm.
Paddy Holohan.
Is that right? Yeah, is
when
that
he
right?
When he was in here with me. What? If only I could remember, Shane, now what why we were talking about it. I don't know. Do you know what it was? John was here. John was in and he said, who had you last week? And I said, I had John Connors in. And he was like, no way. And he was talking about John. He's like, do you know his mate? Oh, what's his name? He does little... Did you send him something or...
No. I'm not that type of fella. Like, here's my little man. Oh, you know, what happened is that, like, man, fuck, man. I used to take the piss out of all the lads. Like, I've been a huge, not to go off the subject, but just
go
to get,
off,
just,
beer off.
Yeah, like, I've been a huge combat fan since I was doing Kenpo Karate as a kid. And I was doing Kenpo Karate as a kid, and I was watching Pride FC, like, back in, like, fucking 99 and 98 and 97. So I've been watching combat sports for a long time. And finally, when Irish people were up on the big stage fighting, I was just, I was absolutely chuffed. Like, the likes of fucking Paddy and Connor and everyone started competing. But when the lads were doing their post-fight interviews, I used to go onto Facebook and mimic them, you know what I mean? I used to do impressions of them.
Did you?
Yeah. So I sent Paddy an impression of him. all banged up with a bleeding with a D-tron cap on. Yeah,
no way.
Yeah. And I was just slagging him, talking about cups of tea and stuff like that. Like, back, I actually did a really good impression of him, and I just thought it would be hilarious just to send it to him.
Yeah,
I didn't know him. I just randomly send him 1 PM with the video, and that's it. I never respond back to him. I've never talked to Paddy. Like, that's the funny thing, Paddy.
Ever?
No, Paddy.
Oh, no.
Paddy, like, I've met Paddy and stuff like that.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I mean?
But at the time.
At the time, I'd never talked to him or whatever like that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And he always remembered me because of that video. That mad bastard. And then I started popping up with John and stuff like that. He's that fucking mad bastard. Is having to send me that video. He's a fucking mad thing, that fella. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I think he might have said he's a mad thing. Yeah.
But again, just having a crack and making people laugh. Like,
so
combat
good.
Is my thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, like, it's like somebody, it's like a film buff doing impressions of somebody in films, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I was just taking a piss, so, you know.
Well, we have shared the tatam on a few nights with the owl.
Yup. Oh dear.
That's matted area for a combat gym there.
Yo.
But obviously I was going to say Dublin Combat Academy, where I train. Dublin Thai Boxing. Well, you've done a bit, right?
Ah, yeah, bits
and pieces. You do a bit.
I go around. Like, I live out of a suitcase, as they say. Fighting out of a suitcase. Do you know what I mean? It's like, where is that cunt? Like, he does fucking 4 sessions, and then 3 months later, comes back and does another 4.
I was filming. I was doing the documentary on Paddy Douglas that night, and when I got up there, Diddler, the coach, was like, "You picked a good night. The champ is here." Yeah. I was delighted you were up as well. It was cool. It was really good.
The thing about me is I'm no fool. I can jump in and it's not like I'm a world beater. Yeah. I have the basics of everything.
Yeah.
And I can actually just go and have a laugh with the boys.
Yes.
I can't. I'm not a fool in there. Yeah, I can actually go and train.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I can't wait to roll with you. Like, I'm rolling now.
I'm telling you.
Do you know what I mean?
When did you start jiu-jitsu?
I really started jiu-jitsu. Actually, a really, really interesting story, right? I really started jiu-jitsu. Right, back when John Kavanagh and Andy Ryan had a club called SBG in Northside.
Yeah, that is right? Back in the day.
So how long am I? Like, so how long am I in the game? Give me my armbar. I deserve that armbar. Do you know what I'm saying? So
you're a third degree black belt at this stage, my friend.
So I've really been grappling on and off all my life.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, I need to make sense. I need some belts. I need to go. I was always afraid of the gi because when you get, you know yourself when it comes to grappling, when you get used to the system of no gi.
Yes.
Thinking about holding people's fucking collars and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's a
can be daunting. Especially when you're good at no gi and you realise, yes, I'm actually a good no gi grappler. If I put a gi on now, I get humiliated.
Yeah,
but do you know what I mean by
that?
Yeah,
it's the other way around. Like, people who train gi, when you're saying like, oh, like with, you know, no gi sparring, like, oh no, I'm going to give it a miss. It's like, if you're good in gi, if you're good at jiu-jitsu,
yeah,
you will be able to withstand the time of both.
Yeah, of course. But sure, I was like, I was a kid when I was just rolling around into me, you know, early 20s, like rolling no gi. I know now it's all the same. Fucking put a gi on me and bait the shit out of me.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But that's what
jiu-jitsu's
all about.
Yeah. I mean, it is. They have different, like, they are different in terms of, like, obviously, gi jiu-jitsu is a lot slower than no-gi. I personally prefer no-gi.
Me too.
Like the wrestle.
Me
too. You know what I mean? I like the it's high risk.
Yes, it is.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's high risk.
Yeah, and if you're like... and if you were raised off fucking penny Vizsticks, you can always do a deadly shrimp. Do you know what I mean? I've been eating chocolate out of the corner shop all my life. Like, get me into a hole. I just do it. And then I just come out behind you. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But that I didn't know that at all. You were at the Shed.
The Shed.
That was, it was called back in the day. They used to call it the Shed. That's like before my time. Way
sure,
before
of course,
my time.
It was way before everyone's time.
Everyone's
so
time.
So Richie the Animal there was coaching me, you know?
Yeah.
And he used to say to
me,
you're going to be the best, man. Look at how you move. Look at how you do this. He was great. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, fuck yeah.
You know? It's mad to think how, like, Irish combat sports has progressed since that day.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And
look at
like,
it now.
Yeah, nuts, man. I always wonder, you know, I've never actually, I don't think I've ever asked John or Andy back at that time if they ever thought that they could have both achieved what they've gone on to do.
Yeah, imagine.
Do you know what I mean? Like, like when they were, like, in a shed, basically, out in Bleeding Donomies.
Imagine.
Yeah, good buzz, right?
Daddy, I went on then to... I just went to, like, for me, it was just about accessibility. So I just went to, when Team Rhino started up, I went over there for a while and then went off to Kokoro MMA there for a while. And that accumulated.
Dara Kennedy?
That accumulated around three years of good training. And then I was just, you know what? I'm a real devil for just staying busy and doing creative things. Like, I was rollerblading at the time. I was still spray painting at the time. I was really keen about going out with girls and stuff like that. And
get
I didn't,
up.
Yeah, and I didn't get, like, I didn't care. You know what I mean? I just wanted a balance of all that good shit.
Are you a Leo?
You know? I'm what you call a Sagittarius. No, the 24th, like, so it's...
November.
December.
Oh, you're a Capricorn.
Well, some say Sagittarius, some say Capricorn.
21st of December.
Yeah, that's the...
This is where the listeners get a real treat, where I go to my phone and they can't bloody see me doing this. What'd you say, 21st?
I think they came up with a new... Isn't there a...
No, that was debunked.
Oh.
Yeah.
fucking ninth planet or whatever the fuck. Is it a moon? Is it a planet?
This is my forte, is star signs. I'm obsessed. Did you say the 21st? Yeah.
The winter solstice, yeah.
Is gas. It
the darkest day of the year.
You're a Sagittarius.
Right.
That's good news for you. Because I'm a Leo.
Right.
And we get on very well.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
See, it was the astrology all along.
Yeah.
You're a Sagittarius. Well, I can tell you a lot about yourself.
You can.
Yes,
let's
I can.
Go. She has my hand in her hand right now. She's running her little finger up my lines. What can you tell me? Can you tell me, Anne? Can you?
Well, I mean, I could tell you a bit.
Is it the creative things, Sagittarius, huh?
Sagittarius. Let's have a look here now.
Now, hold on a minute.
Well, I'm just...
hold on a minute.
I can't do it on the bleeding, on the podcast, and I have to get me facts right.
You can't fucking Google something by just being nasty. Like, anyone can do that. do you want to know what oil to put in a fucking Opel Astra 17D, do you?
Right, okay. So you're the archer.
Okay. Yeah.
So that would be a symbol for how you would approach life.
You have Google glasses on or something, do you?
No, I swear down.
Okay.
So you're an archer, so you...
Come on, get it together. The fuck?
I'm sweating. I'm under pressure here now. I shouldn't have said that.
No, just chill for a second, because okay. I know you know something. Tell me something about Sagittarius.
I don't only know something. I know it all. Like, literally, I spend a lot of time with astrology. It's very important.
It's very, very hard to believe it.
I know I'm busy, but I love astrology.
I know you're not lying.
So it is that you're the archer.
Right.
So you love freedom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right? And you love, not that we don't all love a bit of freedom, but you love to be, you do not like to be confined in any aspect of your life. You need to feel like you're free.
All the time. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Right? So that is a big part of being Sagittarius. And also, emotionally, you're like, you keep your emotions very much on the inside.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be very emotional, even though you're very expressionate and creative.
Yeah. Put it into the art more.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You're going to win the lotto on the
21st. Mystic Meg. Fuck off.
But listen to me. I'm not even joking. I'm so into the esoteric, sphere. And I've gone to so many... mediums, like...
My mother's a medium.
Are you kidding me?
Well, that's why we get along, is it? No, my mother's a very well-known medium, actually. Colette Darling. Big shout out to Colette Darling.
This is why you are here right now.
Yeah, my mother's a medium.
Tell me more. Literally up until... I had a numerology reading, a soul reading, like, 2 nights ago.
My mother's a great woman. So, back when I was growing up, she used to be dealing with tarot cards and stuff like that, just as an introduction into basically the spirit realm. And obviously, it went into star signs and stuff. It stemmed now into angel workshops and stuff where she uses, she's not talking to the dead anymore. I'd be saying, man, now come on, cop on now. But there
did
is,
she used to?
No, but she used to try
she'd
to...
She used
to
pick up on things.
Yeah, oh yeah, but she's always had that. But I'm just talking about what way she's channeling it and what way she's using it. So basically, she these days now, she's channeled all her energy into angel healing, which is basically, you know yourself, it's basically like she uses cards and stuff like that, but... It's kind of a psychology class and picking up a little micro triggers on people and actually giving them healing, giving them a gift when they feel hopeless about something as well. I think, you know, you can use your gift in a way as well to heal, Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's other people out there that use it in different ways to, you know, financially and stuff or for their own ego as well.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and not to say they don't have a gift.
Yes.
They do have a gift. I just think they're just using it in an ill way, you know.
They've been caught up in the matrix.
Yeah, they have been, you know.
Yeah.
My mother is really aware of that now and she's honed her skills down into actually just healing people.
Oh my God, I have to meet this woman.
Yeah, she's a brilliant woman.
I have to, 100%. Because you know what, it's like...
Turn this on silent.
That's okay. It's like... I always go back to when we look at back in the day, And you would just have, it was just so common to have people within the community or tribes that had healing powers for whatever that is, right?
Sure.
And like, they're no different to us. They were just more connected to who they are and more connected to Earth and more connected, that's the word.
Big time.
They weren't lost in this whole rat race that we're, rat race of consumerism that we're like...
For sure.
Stuck in. So... And I always think about this story that someone very wise once told me about aboriginal tribes back in the day that they used to be able to zone in on telepathy, and they were really, really telepathic, and they could telepathically speak to one another and say that they would meet in a like destination, and they would walk for 3 days on either side of the Bleeding Land, and they would meet, and it was like proven, like there's loads of like scientific documents to prove that it has happened.
If you think about it, us as a species and the whatever, the 200,000 years that we've been developing into who we are now as well, but if you look at nature as well, which is interesting about what you were saying, wouldn't a herd know where to migrate into me?
Boom. There you go.
And they don't talk.
Absolutely.
But they know.
They know.
Do you know what I'm saying?
This is it.
So we've lost all that.
Yes.
We were a species moving around just like them.
Yeah.
And we had all these fucking abilities that we just, they're dormant now.
Seriously. And why is it so hard for people, you know, like people of, we'll say more of an atheist sort of mindset or belief system. Why is it so hard for them to believe that?
I know, right?
That we will be so different, or that we were once capable of that, or we could be capable of it. Do you know what I mean?
It's weird now. I think today, in today's society, we're way more aware of what we've lost. Where we're at with technology, where we're at with just basically these hyperextensions of our own ego, which would be our mobile phones. It reminds me of a poem. I actually should do a spoken word thing on this maybe before I go.
It's on the cards. You don't get out here without doing a bit.
Yeah,
your party piece. It's called the party piece.
Yeah.
That's what we've just coined it.
Yeah.
I always get anyone who can do a bit of something to do a bit of something. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God. Thank God this wasn't the visual. He did the helicopter.
Yeah, speaking of that, will you put your pants back up, please? Come on.
But isn't it mad? We've lost so much.
We've lost so much, but I am on a mission to reconnect. Like, I sound like a bleeding idiot. Like, I just want to reconnect, but it's so important to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, heritage, and like, I have this unquenchable desire to know who I am, where I've come from, why am I here?
Right.
Questions. Many questions.
Have you answered any of them yet?
I've gotten a few questions answered.
Have you talked to your grandparents?
I've spoke to my grandmother, which is like...
What'd she tell you?
To stop grieving her.
Right.
Which is really weird. And it was during a Reiki session with the Reiki shaman. And this is so weird. Only my friends know this, but listen, these are all my friends.
Come on.
And I started doing... Reiki, right? About 2 years ago. And I started hearing a voice coming in. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I listened to a podcast with Paul Check, who's now my, you know, guru without having a guru, because I don't think we should have gurus. We're all our own guru. But he was talking about how you can connect with your soul and that we all have our soul. We can all have a dialogue with our souls. Mm-hmm. And that... So I started, like, I was like, hang on. I was like, this is really weird. So I remember once being like in this sort of trance in the Reiki. And then I was like, is this my soul? Like, literally been like, is this, are you my soul? Like that. And the voice was like, yes. And then I was like, holy shit, like, what do I ask you? And it was like, you can ask me anything. I'm your soul.
Wow.
Right?
Sounds deadly.
I was like, man, I wish I was after smoking a joint or something before I came in here. Because this would be the best thing ever. I was like, holy shit, right? Long story short, the more I would go back and do it, the more I kept investigating the voice and asking if it was there. And it was. And then I just started feeling that... there was the energy of, like, not people, but a collective energy around me when I would do it, right? And I kept saying to, like, quote unquote my soul. Like, what is that? Like, are they people? Are they spirits? Like, I just feel all this like connective energy. And it was like, they're here to protect you. Right? And I was like, who are they? And they were like, they're here to protect you. They're here to protect. That's all that I kept saying. And I was like, okay, well, that's really, really weird. So cut to about a year later, I'm at a drug rehabilitation event, right? That a friend of mine works in drug rehabilitation, and they have their end of year ball. And they were like, we'd love you to come and to like meet everyone and to have a bit, you know, have a dinner, have a dance and like see how you go, have a few drinks. I was like, I'd love to go. And I went out and this woman came up to me and she goes, do you know who I am? And I said, no, I haven't got a clue. And she said, I'm a medium. And she's like, I need to sit down with you. Will you sit down with me? And I said, oh my God, of course. She's like, I need to talk to you. I said, no bother. I'm having a few drinks at this age. I was like, love it. And
So where were you when this happened again?
I was out in the Green Isle Hotel.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Right.
And I'm steamed now. Like, right, I was after having a couple of Proseccos and the whole lot. So I sat down and I was like, yeah. And she was like, you have healing powers.
Yeah, and see, people know when other people have it, don't they?
I don't know.
They fucking do. They go around recruiting.
Now listen to me. Healing powers, that's a wide landscape, right? I was like,
well, she's seen something. Some people can just see the divine spirit in people, can't they?
She said, she was like, you have a healing power and it was because she said this word and it freaked me out then. She was like, you're here to connect. Connection is where your
and
healing
then Fight
is.
Connect TV,
and then
the
Fight Connect TV, and then like interviewing people, and I was like, I was melting into the chair. I was like, don't say anymore. She goes, do you work in childcare? I says, no. And she's like, you need to work with children. She was like, you've got a really special gift, and there's a spirit of so many children around you. She's like, every time I was watching you all night, I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about it. She said, I was watching you all night, and I can just see the spirit of lost children's souls just following you. Right, and it's really weird because all my friends say to me every time I'm with their kids, they're like, you have like a serious way with children, like you speak to them differently, you know what I mean? And I don't know what it is, you know what I mean? So she said this to me, and she said that my success will be linked to a large house with art, right? Now, I was like, okay, so I get successful, I have loads of money and I buy a big gaff, I put loads of art in it. That's what I was thinking.
My art.
Yeah, your art, right?
Pay me for it.
Yeah. Yeah, right, okay. So I will. All double right. The price.
Let's go.
So anyway, I left it and I was like saying to, it was actually Craig Coakley's mum that is where I was saying to Audrey, I was like, that's bleeding mad. She said then to me and Audrey, how are you connected? And I was like, I know her son. Like she was like, we met her, Lindsay was my son and stuff. And she goes, no, you were brought together because you've got the same heart. Yeah. Which was like, even if that is bullshit, that's lovely to hear.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I do feel like I have the same heart as her. We get on very well, even though like she's, you know.
You have the same heart as my mother. Yous are all the same. Yous are all the fucking same, them pure hearted
them
fuckers.
Them pure hearts. Right?
Yeah, you do know you've got a good soul. Like it wouldn't take much for somebody to look at you and think that you've got a good soul that shines through. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, I feel like I have a good soul, but I didn't always have a good soul.
Yeah, but
you know, back in the day I was an arsehole, like, do you know what I mean? But I feel like I went through those 20s, 20 to 30, I think I just navigated them all being an arsehole and having like all these demons and all this like baggage, and then when I made the choice to just say I need to change,
I know what you mean.
I had a death, you know, I feel like I died a little bit.
I know what you mean, yeah.
And now I'm every day turning into the version of myself that I want to be.
Yeah, I think
I need to be.
I think everyone has that opportunity, don't they?
Well, did you go through something like that?
Well, I think everybody who has a good kindred spirits like have gone through a massive metamorphosis. They haven't just always been like that.
Absolutely.
So, do you know what I mean? Like, everybody has the opportunity to shine through and become more real to themselves, if that makes sense. Become true to themselves and listen to their heart and embrace their soul, like, you know. And, like, my mother taught me that. And, I was running around doing mad shit as well. Like, I grew up in Darndale. It was tough times and we were kids and we were running around and we were barbarians and we were going around doing whatever. But we weren't thinking that was right or wrong at the time and stuff like that, you know. But I think when you do have good people around you and good mentors, whether it be family, mothers or friends or these people that you meet in creative circles when you're going forward, you do kind of say to yourself, these people are a little bit different than me. I'm not really like them yet, but I kind of want to be more like these people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know when you're with other people, which they're your peers?
Yeah.
They're your peers and you're just looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, man, how do I get there?
Well, that's why they say your circle should be, you should be the least talented, least intelligent, least whatever, than your circle. You know, and it doesn't mean that you actually physically have to, but it's the idea of surround yourself with people who are doing great things so that they in turn inspire you.
Yeah.
And you're one fifth of the five people that you surround yourself with.
I think that's the key as well. I think the key is to only give your allegiance to people that, like, the people that, put it this way, right? We're going through something now at the moment. I know everyone's busy. We're going through a pandemic and there's people suffering. And a lot of people are left with, you know, themselves to try to find who they are, to take a good look at themselves and stuff. We should be giving credit to the people that are reaching out to you now and asking, how are you? Or meeting up for a social distance coffee. It's the people that are looking at you now that deserve your respect and need to be in your circle. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
absolutely.
Because you know yourself, when it was all hustle and bustle outside and everybody's, oh, hi, so they want to fucking get into your podcast or they want to, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's like now,
yes.
Who's coming around now and saying, what's up? You dropped me a text the other day. And I'm like, that's so characteristic of you, because you know what I mean? You actually care about me. You want to see what's up with me. Yeah, right. Exactly. And I was like, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I erased all my numbers. I went on a reel. I just got off social media lately and stuff. I'm just starting to feel like that environment for me now as an adult is becoming a little bit of a hindrance to my creative cognitive abilities.
Yes.
And I want to just harness. There's deeper questions that I need answering in my life. Not to say there's some sort of dark secret going on or anything like that. I made that sound like a bit cryptic, like nothing like that. But I just mean there's a piece of fucking, there's something missing. There's a huge piece of work that isn't created yet.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, but you do, because you're on the road. You're on the fucking road as well. Like, trying to find out what that is too. You're not here. You're not just here for nothing. You're here to go, let's go. You know, I need to find out more about myself. What's going on?
I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When people are saying like, oh, I feel so old. I feel that I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If someone told me I'm living till 95, that's not enough time for me. No. I need more time.
Big time. Big time. I'm on the path just searching and stuff like that. And here, don't get me wrong. People like ourselves find the answers easy enough. Just be still and it comes.
That's deep. How much time do you spend in stillness? Is this an everyday thing or is it metaphorically?
No, I had to adapt and create some type of skills in order to multitask as an individual, because I'm a guy that goes out and grafts. I go out onto building sites and I graft and I work away to pay bills for my family, which takes up a lot of my time there.
Yeah,
I have to get an adequate amount of rest to balance with the grafting that I'm doing with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
I have family there, I have kids that need attention as well. And I also have the creative side, right? That's too much. That's too much to be like pondering in a fucking cave and bleeding Bali. Do you know what I mean? Like fucking just looking at your shadow for 20 years trying to figure it out.
I was just about to say, how do you do it all?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you do it all?
Exactly.
That's a lot. I mean, I think I have a heavy schedule, but like I don't have kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I make a lot of sacrifices. So where I should be resting, I'm creating.
Yeah.
And where I should be playing sometimes, I'm working, and I have to juggle everything around, and it feels like I'm always chasing. Kids as well for me is a big thing at the moment, but they're starting to grow up. They're starting to grow up. I'm not even walking yet. No, but like I can see them chains kind of just come off me slowly but surely as my kids kind of start to like gather a couple of years under them and stuff like that, and I can start it then. I'm very, very, very aware to move out into the direction that I want to go when the time presents itself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
like
we are all busy and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? But I'm like fucking crouching tiger.
So is that, do you find that your creativity prospers when you're under like a certain degree of like, I've only got this amount of time.
Yeah, there we go. You know what I mean? It's no longer fucking smoking hash at the bus stop with your skateboard.
But that was a nice life.
Do you remember that? When we were like, yeah, I'm going to make an album or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's like them days are well and truly gone. So yeah, it's a mechanism now on how I cope and how I juggle all these different things. People who see me think, how the fuck are you fathering? And how are you doing all this? How are you doing all that? Time management.
Yeah.
And you have to give your fucking, your soul and your spirit across to all that. Like it takes dints and chips out of you along the way. Because everything's sacrificed. You have to give energy to attain fucking bleeding knowledge. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Do you know, to find out more about yourself, you have to give your time and energy.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
100%.
So, yeah.
So what is, creatively, what's next?
creatively, what's next? I was in the studio fucking yesterday.
Were you?
Yeah.
With Dan?
No, I wasn't with Dan. I'm doing a solo album with Chris Cabs, great producer.
No way.
Yeah, and he's fucking fantastic. But it's kind of a more current, updated sound and stuff like that. But I'm having a great time writing lyrics to his stuff because his stuff's real chill and real positive.
Do you prefer to have someone do the music and you come in with the lyrics? Or
yeah, I never produced.
Ever? No. Would you even do a little bit at home if you were just... See, when Paulie was in here, Little Dialects, my language that I use for talking about hip-hop music is so uncool. I was like, when you're writing a beat or when you're dropping a line.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. Oh, dropping a line. Like.
When you're dropping a line there. And then
you're so cool.
He went to say a piece and I went, hit it. And he literally was
did
like...
Did Paulie do some raps on the show?
Yeah, he did. He done a couple of verses, yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, like, there's challenges there.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, no, I'll definitely rap. Yeah, of course I will. I'll definitely rap. It's like fucking people, you know, it's crazy. Some people know me for this, some people know me for that, but I don't feel like I'm any of them. Do you know that sort of way?
Yeah.
It's funny. I don't feel like I don't feel like I'm obliged to come here and rap because I'm a rapper. Like, hopefully I'm just talking to you because I'm Teddy Darling and that's it.
And
you know what I mean?
Mate, like, and you're interesting and I know the conversation is going to be good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, we can stick to the conversation. It'd be way better than me going, hey, I'm egotistical. Check out my testicles. They're in your mouth, Lydia. Sucker, sucker, sucker. Right, you know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Brilliant. But where do you identify the most? Like, does Teddy Darren have to be all these different versions?
Yeah, they have. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the freedom. That's the sanitarian.
Yeah, I was about to get back to that. That's my ball, right?
Yeah.
Do you know, I have this like 420 degree fucking arc.
Yes, and the chasing women.
There,
boom.
You know what I mean? Like, me hopefully used to say to me, why are you doing so many things? I go, fuck off with it.
You just were always like that.
Yeah. You just say, will you not do one thing?
Yeah.
Ah. And the answer to that is no. The answer to that is no. And like, I kind of said to myself, I don't really get doing one thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get that.
Do you think you get really bored if you just had to do one thing?
I think so, yeah.
Because it's that confined to one thing.
Yeah, it's like creative ADHD.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I know when to sit and be still. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not a dude that, like, fucking, you know, I always have to be moving.
Yeah.
I'm not that dude. I like my time just sitting down, fucking listening to fucking soundscapes and music and being still. I like moving as well.
What's on the playlist these days?
What's on the playlist these days? You know what? I'll tell you the truth. Nothing.
Nothing?
No. I'll tell you, it's a time management thing as well. Like, I don't want to, like, I can tell you what music I've been listening to over the year, but I just don't want to even lie about it. It's like, every time I get a little bit of time to go listen to some music now, I seem to be digging up really old school nuggets from like back in the 90s and stuff like that. Like, I mean, like, you can laugh, but like, it's like fucking, I dig up like all like Ashanti and Ja Rule and all.
Yeah.
And I dig up like all these like fucking, you know, these nuggets that's like, fucking man, that's what 2003 felt like.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, how good is that to be able to, that's how beautiful music is.
Yeah.
That you can go back to a time and you just put on a record. For me, it's Crazy Sexy Cool by TLC.
Yeah.
When I want to go back in time and have a vibe and have a bop, I throw on TLC. And I'm like, oh, I just remember being like baggy pants and like, you know, hair up and like big hoop earrings. And we're like, yeah, TLC, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. And there was guys, remember, you know, I don't want no scrubs.
Yeah.
Well, do you know a bunch of fellas in America, like a bunch of black fellas brought out pigeons?
Yes.
Remember that one?
Yes.
I don't want no pigeons. Those be the girls that get no love from me. Hanging on the passenger side of his best. Oh,
classic.
Deadly.
Back in the day.
So, I don't remember them all, but it seems like when I get into a groove of like starting to select them, the other ones pop up.
Yeah.
And I kind of go on this fucking journey back then. It's beautiful. I love listening to old music, you know. But on the way in, like I have my ear pods on me there on the way, and I was listening to a rapper called Ka, real New York, really, really, really kind of gully, kind of real grimy, no beat or anything, just these kind of like butter drums going, and he's just like, you know, just talking, rhyming, like, but real kind of hard, harsh, not even like brutal type of stuff, just about the struggle and the upbringing and stuff like that. And I listened to doom metal, like I listened to a lot of doom metal, like Acid King and stuff. I listened to like The Devil and His Blues. I listened to a lot of stuff. I listened to the Black Keys. I like a lot of stuff that just fucking drives.
Yeah.
Because I need to drive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I need to get up and fucking drive. Like, you know, it's like I can't fucking bleed, smoke a joint, listen to Nirvana. Like, although I haven't smoked a joint in 10 years. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like fucking fill me full of electricity and send me out the fucking door to get something done. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I hear that. I hear that.
For real.
What a buzz. Well, before you go, you're going to have to do a little something.
Well, look, I don't even need to go to my phone. It's just one of these things. Like, I know all these things, but it's just one of these things. You know, when you're putting on the spot sometimes, you never just want to go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, while you're having a look there, I'll ask you one final question.
Ask me whatever you want.
If all ended tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
What message would you leave behind?
Lol.
Lol?
Yeah.
Yup. And with great insight, he left behind.
Yeah, because you know what I mean? Look, at the end of the day, right, Lydia, look, before I go off on this, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, right? Like, I grew up reading, like, 1600s, like, Japanese literature, like, all the great books, Books of the Five Rings, Miyamoto Musashi, all this. Yep. I knew about fucking Zen, and I embodied... like what people are trying to do today when I was a fucking youngfella and lived in that code for most of my life. Now it's just tacky, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I want to say a big philosophical fucking big piece of shite, man, so someone will go, he's actually an interesting person. So that's why I said, lol.
Brilliant.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's go.
Yes, you know, all good.
I have a good verse here. It goes, I guess, right? Politicians fishing for that undercover cash. It makes my skin crawl like an undiscovered rash. The hard working man suffer, companies collapse. Can't make a fucking lick of cream paying higher rate tax. Feeding us with lies, don't be blind to the fact that the lies is disguised like a knife in the back. And the scars run deep on the streets where we at. When me ma pays rent in a scheme where you shot. See, the real shit stain is your campaign. Broken promises, monarchies, sipping on the champagne. I'm digging holes in the rain for a shit wage. What's changed? 9 centuries a slave. We're still in pain, ball and chain gang applicable. Whipped by the system, Mr. Suit and Toy criminal. Sick individuals, counting all the millions. We're pissing in the wind, we're preying on the innocent. Oh, what a hot pot to be living in. Crocodile smiles snatch your souls from civilians. Dirty deeds and cover-ups, you a reptilian. Villainous belligerents counting up your millions. Living in the citadel, the cross is invisible. False propaganda broadcast from your living room. Advertising fear lies for your subliminal. Controlling our thought self-awareness is minimal. The true means to our end. We dug our own graves, laser beams to our head. Martin Luther King had a dream, now he's dead because the system is designed to devoid what we spend. Wake up.
Ooh.
Sorry, I was slurring over there. It's the first time I ever did that, man. I only wrote that.
Did you?
Yeah, I only wrote that. I only wrote that a week or two ago. It was just the first time I ever did it, so that's why it was a little bit.
No, that was really good.
Yeah, but I thought, like, it's relevant now, right?
So relevant now.
Do you know, and I have longer, real fucking bleeding, you know, stab you in the heart stuff. And
I'm enamored by rappers and rapping. I don't know how you do it.
I got told the other day that, you know, that rap is actually Irish.
Listen, when you listen to Irish rappers, you can see why someone might say that, you know?
Yeah, that I got brought to the Bronx.
Really?
Yeah, that I got brought to the Bronx over there from the Shanakies and all the people over here. They used to do all the limericks, the tongue rhymes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I have to look into it, but it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Like, I'm
serious
just living embodiment of a guy now in modern day doing it, you know?
So good. No, I really appreciate you doing that. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It's been deadly.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. I feel like we're only breaking the ice. Feels like we could have our own podcast,
Boom. Book it in, Shane. Book it in. But I'm telling you, listen, that might not be a bad idea. Imagine, like, this is why when you said you come in, I was like, do you know what? We could be talking about Tesco now and we'd have the best hour ever. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, see, I'm so grateful that you came in. Thank you so much.
And come here, listen, like, you know, bring in a couple of, like, how funny would it be to be talking about that video with Paddy Hewlin while he's here?
Do you know what? As you were saying,
let's
bring him in. Like, let's have someone in here.
Well, it's not even that. It's kind of like get somebody else in that you're going to interview, and get someone in that you've already had in. And put a wild card in down as well. Just sit somebody else down.
Yeah.
So it's a three-way discussion now. God knows what the fuck you'll say. Like,
I'd probably have to pre-approve it with the person first, you know? But yeah, 100%. You'll have to come back.
Yeah, I'd love to come back.
You have to come back.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we'll do part two.
Beautiful.
Preludes? Preludes? Part two of Preludes? No. Uh-oh. Cut that out. What's it after?
What?
Preludes.
I just think of praline, you know, that ice cream. Fuck that.
We'll leave it at that.
Lol.
Teddy Darren, a.k.a. God Creative, a.k.a. one half of Creative Crime. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Boom.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.